May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The psalm set for today, Psalm 133, starts, "How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity." Or, as the Message puts it, "How wonderful, how beautiful when brothers and sisters get along." Yes, indeed. And perhaps Jacob could have said that before little Joseph came along, but he became the favourite. Last week we heard of the life-changing split between Joseph and his brothers. They were so fed up with him, they wanted to kill him, but instead sold him into slavery in Egypt. God had other plans for them all. They came to Joseph for food 2 years into the 7-year famine. Now we heard what I find is the most emotional story in the Bible. It's their reunion. There is first shocked silence, then crying out, weeping, hugging, kissing, and forgiveness. Now these are half-brothers, two lots or so of their father's maidservants. In early Australian history and in Victorian times, which was my grandparents' time, half-siblings were not uncommon because one or other parent died too young. But after World War II, marriages were pretty stable. Many of you had or still have parents still married, and you are still married. And that was what church looked like as I grew up. But I had a stepfather. I have two lots of half-brothers, whom I hardly know, and a stepson, who is half-brother, to my daughters. The stories of Jacob and Joseph show us a God who knows his people and can deal with us willful humans and our messy lives. How can we do without such a God? Jesus shows us how loving and forgiving God is. In this COVID time, more people are getting on with their family history research. I keep hearing about it. Ancestry.com is not a business likely to go broke soon. So I get an email from someone in the UK wanting to know the Australian family. Interesting. We all have a family tree with roots. There is also a surge in some people taking DNA tests as part of this. Reports are revealing quite a lot of parental slip-ups, deliberate and accidental pregnancies, so that siblings are really half-brothers and sisters. Yet all are God's children. God wants them to know that they are loved. And it's a church's task to help Jesus in doing that, while often the church has done the judging instead. Continuing with the theme of family, I turn to the Gospel of Matthew and the story of the Canaanite woman noisily approaching Jesus in Syria. She would be a stranger to the covenants of Israel. It's her family, her daughter, is what is all important to her. Ignored by Jesus, rebuffed by the disciples, she stops shouting and kneels. Jesus hears us when we humbly kneel before him. Her wit and her faith melt his heart, and the girl is healed. I think Jesus has healed the whole family. Desire and compassion for family turn many to God, and it is our task to help Jesus point them the way. Outsiders like her are brought into a relationship. Now stay with this while I turn to our reading from Romans. But I had a longer portion of that Romans reading, I have just realised. So the part I wanted was verses 17 to 24 of that chapter, where Paul writes about the olive tree, symbol of Israel, about the rich root of the cultivated tree, the faith and traditions of the Jewish people with their laws from ancient times. He likens branches broken off this cultivated tree to members who do not believe. He likens the Gentiles to whom he is writing in Rome, who have converted to the Christian way, as coming from wild olive trees. They were pagans with many gods and different moral behaviours. These Gentiles, outsiders of the covenants, have heard preaching and teaching about Jesus. They have believed in his death and believed in the resurrection and been saved. Their faith makes them eligible to be branches grafted onto the Jewish tree. This will bring life to them as part of a living faith and bring life to the rest of the tree too. Win-win, as they say these days. In some Muslim countries, a convert to Christianity means being cut right off from their families. The church community becomes their family. The job of accepting the new graft is the work of the Christians and the Holy Spirit. There are many people seeking their roots, for example, people who were adopted, stolen generation children, those shamed out of their families, and others. We see reunions on TV news, in dramas, and other programs, and they can be very emotional. So that person then explores and decides if they wish to develop further links with their newer genetic family. I keep seeing parallels with those who want to explore faith and church for the first time or return again. How does our faith aid the grafting process? To quote psychiatrist Kurt Thompson, "The way we approach and react to God's story, as it is told in the stories of the people of the Bible, is itself biased by our own stories, brains, emotions, memory, and so on." Now, for an example, consider a person who grows up in a fair-sized family, who always wondered why his siblings were much taller and his skin quite a bit fairer than his brothers and sisters. As well, he always wondered why his father, not a particularly kind man, treated him the worst. 60 years on, father dies, mother dies, and only after she dies is his elder sister allowed to tell him that he actually had a different father to them. It rocks him. The sister tells him it was a neighbour. So it's not too hard. He makes contact with a member of that family. He learns he is related to a family in another city. My family here. Last year we learned of this and we made contact. Now one member here was very suspicious of his motives, while another said, "We are a small family, we have room for more." How would you cope with a new, unexpected relative? How would you treat them? A few thoughts have come to my mind. It takes patience to allow the new member to even absorb what his genetic father was like and what he did in life. Patience. It takes generosity to show caring. You and this person have led different sorts of lives, and this needs acceptance. It takes self-awareness of ourselves. It takes prayer and the kind of love Jesus showed to outsiders to bring healing. The grafting continues. New shoots will bring life and fruit to the family tree. And in the same way, new life and fruit can come to a church family. As we add to our story, we may see ourselves better. We may reflect how we think God sees us and thinks of us, and how God wants us to be as a child of God. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity.